Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Zvachim Daf Yates. We begin six lines off the top of the Amud back to the topic of Bigdei Kehuna, the Begadim that a Kohen wears during Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Tanan Hasam, we have a mission elsewhere in Maseches Erevin actually. Kohen shalaka be'etzboi, a Kohen experienced a wound on his finger, which requires a bandage. It's Shabbos, where typically we refrain from engaging in medicinal activity, unless it's actually something critical, but just a light wound. Typically, we don't remedy that on Shabbos, lest it come to doing a proper a melacha by, you know, crushing the ingredients, which is a melacha of teichen. But in the Beis HaMikdash itself, for the sake of the Avoida, Mishnah says, Koirech aleho gemi b'migdash, you can wrap upon this wound a gemi, a reed, which actually has remedial effects, remedial powers. You can do that because you're in the Migdash, where the Chachamim suspended their prohibitions for the sake of facilitating Avoida of the Migdash. Avalei b'medina, if you're outside the Migdash, one may not do so. But if his purpose is, he's, you know, trying to put pressure, squeeze it to get the blood out, that is a proper malacha, a prohibited act, which even in the Migdash is not allowed. Kan v'kan asur, whether you're here or there, it's asur, as Rashi says, that's a chabura, you're squeezing blood out, that's an issur d'oraisa. Okay, so, you know, the primary focus of this Mishnah relates to the Isurim of Shabbos, but there is another whole different set of concerns here regarding Bigdei Kehuna, because just like you have to wear those begadim, you may not add another garment to the Bigdei Kehuna while you're doing the Avodah, as we learned yesterday. So what happens to a bandage? What happens to something which is wrapped on the Kohen's body in addition to his required garments? Amar Rav Yehuda Beder Rav Chia, says Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Chia, Lo Yishanu Elo Gemi. The only reason why this is allowed is if it's just a plain little, you know, band-aid. It's a gemi. Aval Tzilzil Katam, if it's a real proper, like a ribbon, a proper ribbon. Havi Yitar, Begadim. Then you're running into a different issue. You just added another article of clothing to your garments. Yitur begadim. You have extra begadim, in which case he cannot serve in that manner. So only a gemi, a reed, which is not an article of clothing, but a tzeltzel. Even if it's a small tzeltzel, a little band, a little ribbon, that would be considered an extra beget. That's his shit. Rabbi Yechon Omar, he says, no concern. Like Amru Yitur begadim. When does the halacha of yitur begadim, extra begadim, apply? Ela b'makim begadim. Only where, typically, begadim cover the person. On his arm, on his chest, where he has the begadim, there. He shouldn't have extra ones. Ava shaloi b'makim begadim, but if it's on his finger, typically, it's not where his garments would cover anyways. It's not a place for garments. So having something there, even a band, even a ribbon, well, you have a yitur, doesn't constitute an extra begadim. Asks the Gemara, okay, but let's put Yitur Begadim concern aside. What about plain Chatzitza? Doesn't it get in the way of his Avodah, which requires direct contact between the skin of the Kohen to the utensil and container that he's handling? But typically, Mishum Chatzitza. What about the fact that whatever he's wearing, okay, it's not yitur, it's not considered an extra beged, it doesn't have significance because it's not in the place of, but it's getting in the way. Rashi says, v'loka ha-koyin, tells you, sh'tehi kabbalah ba'atzmei shel koyin, must be direct contact between the koyin and whatever he's dealing with, whatever he's holding. And this thing is getting in the way. So how could you wrap a beged, a little garment, a little, you know, material on your finger? Says the Gemara, Bismail, the wound is on his left hand, which is in any case not suitable for avoida. Inami, or you can say shalei makam avoida. It's not where you come into contact with anything. It's on the back of the hand or back of the finger. Now this statement of Rabbi Yochanan that yitur begadim, considering it an extra beged and disqualifying the kohen because of the extra beged, is only in a mokim begadim. That's only where typically he wears begadim. But otherwise, no issue. Otherwise, it's not considered wearing an extra begad because it's not in a place where he wears begadim typically. Upliga de Rava, this is in disagreement to Rava, who says, even outside the typical begad area, if one were to add another article, it is considered having an extra article. Da Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chizda, quotes Rav Chizda, b'makim begadim, afilu nima achas choy tzetzes. If it's where begadim typically are worn, so there, even one hair, if the hair is beneath his beged, between the beged and the skin, chaytzetes, now you're running into an issue of chatzitza, you're creating that barrier, separating the beged from the body. That in itself obstructs, because as we're going to learn yesterday, the beged has to be al-basari, directly upon his skin, without anything in between. It's a chatzitza. So, skip yitur begadim. It's a plain chatzitza. If it's b'makim begadim, but shelo b'makim begadim. If it's on the back of his hand where there's nothing typically sitting, there it can be considered an extra begad if the material has the required minimum size, which gives it a begad entity, which makes it has a sheer begad. Three finger widths by three finger widths, which can be turned into a patch, which in the Torah is considered a baguette. Shalai b'makim begadim, sholish al sholish chaytetzot. It's 3x3. Then chaytetzot now. The word chaytetzot over here, actually, even though it's chaytetzot, but even though we use that word, but over here actually alludes to the fact that it's considered an extra beged. So the word chaytet sort of has a double meaning in the context of our discussion. Chaytetzes can mean a separation. It separates the proper beged from his guf, as per the first part of his statement. But now, we're talking about if it's a significantly sized piece of material sitting outside the area of begadim, on the back of his hand, on his face. If it's large enough, chaytetzot here, it means that it interferes with the rest of the begadim, in a sense, because he's counted in. There's an extra beggar there. So now, well, things are possible. Pachas mekan, but if it's smaller than that, it's insignificant. It doesn't have the status of a garment. Einan chaytetzot, those extra patches don't do any harm. So he's certainly in disagreement with Rabbi Yechon, who said, if it's on his face, the back of his hand, no matter how big it is, you can just ignore it. He clearly says you can't ignore. Ad Rabbi Yechon v'adei pliga. He's certainly disagreeing with Rabbi Yechon. But the second question is, Rabbi Yehuda Breda Rechiha told us a minute ago that wherever the garment is, even a little band, even a little ribbon, has to be reckoned in and counted as a beged, even though it's less than 3x3. Is there a machlekes there? Well, Ad Rav Yehuda Ben Chiya, Milei Ba Depliga, shall we say, Rabbi disagrees with him? According to Rabbi, it needs to be 3x3. A ribbon wouldn't count. Well, perhaps, typically 3x3 is required, but Shani Tzitzel Cotton, perhaps a ribbon, which is an entity on its own, Rashi says, it beautifies it. The Chasha, perhaps because of its extra prominence, because it's Chashev, it compensates for its smaller size, the prominence, the chashivas, makes up for its minuteness, in which case it has to be factored in as a beged. So perhaps even Rav would agree to that. Okay, so let's just stop for a second. We have the first version in the Gemara, second version coming up in a second. According to this version, when there is a beged, 3x3, or a tzotzol, if it's sitting on a place where typically begadim are sitting. So there could be two issues. First of all, chatzitza. Secondly, it's considered yitur begadim. When it's outside the place of begadim, according to Rabbi Yechanan, no concern. According to Rava, 3x3, and according to Rabbi Yudar Rechia, even a tzitzel katan would be considered an extra beged. Lishnachrin Amrila, there's another version of this discussion, where even Rabbi Yechanan would agree that if it's a patch 3x3 in size, it's considered an extra garment, irrespective of location. Lishnachrin Amrila, Amr Rabbi Yudar Breda Rechia, Loishon Elogemi. When the Mishnah says he should wrap a little gemi around his finger, that's only the gemi, but if it's a real proper article of clothing, if it's a ribbon, then it would be considered an extra beged. Now, although he uses the word chaitzitz, as Rashi again points out, here it means Yitur begadim, because it's not in a place of chatzitza, it's sitting on the back of his hand, there's nothing there to get in the way. Now here it certainly means chatzitza, yitur begadim. Okay, so chatzitza here means it disrupts, interferes with the rest of his begadim, it gets in the way. It has to be factored in, and now he has an extra one. That's his opinion. Rabbi Yechon Omar, he says like this, it's going a bit too far, a little ribbon, a little band? No. It has to be at least 3x3. And then even I agree, you have to count it in wherever it is. So you see, according to the second Lashon, Rabbi Yechon agrees. It's large enough, it has to be counted in wherever it is. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Lo Yomru Chatzitza, Epochas Mishalash HaSholesh. When is there a problem? When it's a very small piece, even less than 3x3. Elo B'Mokim Gadim. That's only when it's getting in the way of his existing beged. So here he means real chatzitza. It separates. It gets in the way. It's on under his shirt, which is meant to be touching his skin directly. So there, even if the interfering item is small in size, it's going to create that chatzitza issue. Aval. But if it's sitting outside the area of begadim, on his face, in the back of his hand, where there's no literal chatzitza, he's not getting in the way. Rather, there's a question of yutur begadim. Is that considered an extra garment? So then it has to have the minimum size. Sholosh ha-sholosh, yeah, chaitzitza. It's considered an extra beged and interferes. Pachas mekan, smaller than that, eino chaitzitza, no concern. This corresponds with Rav who said that if it's only if it's 3x3, is it counted in? So according to this version, when it's not literally getting in the way of any other beged, it's shalei b'makim begadim. Rabbi Yechanan, Rava, all agree that if it's 3x3, it's yutur begadim. Now Rabbi Yehuda ben Yechi added another point. He said even a little ribbon, a beauty ribbon, Rashi says, Lanoi, it's meant to beautify. That's also considered an extra beged, despite its smallness. On which Rabbi Yechanan disagreed. He said, no. Prominence doesn't make up for size. It has to be at least 3x3. But perhaps Rava would agree to Rav Chia. Yeah, the standard is 3x3. But if it's a ribbon, perhaps the prominence, the fact that it's fashioned for this purpose, it's beautifying, it's osur lanoi, that compensate for its smallness and size. Leima pliga ad Rav Yehuda ben Rechia. Shall we say that Rava disagrees with Rav Yehuda that he holds that even a ribbon, shani tzitzel katan dechash. Perhaps Rava would agree to Rav Yehuda that a tzitzel katan because of its chashivas must be factored in. So perhaps Rava and Rabbi Yehuda both hold a ribbon counts. Rabbi Yechanan clearly disagrees. Ask the Gemara, so according to Rabbi Yechanan, why did the Mishnah specifically advise him to wrap a gemi? He could have wrapped anything if it's small in size. Well, Rabbi Yechanan, my iri a gemi, why discuss specifically a reed, lishmin and tzitzel katan? tell him to wrap a little tzotzel, which is a greater chiddush. You could even do that without concern, because too small to be reckoned as a beged. The Mishnah is telling us something, by the way. The Gemi Masi. And in fact, the reed has healing powers. And the point is that you can do it even on Shabbos, because you're in the Mikdash. So in summation, we have two Lashonis regarding Yitur Begadim. So if it's B'makim Begadim, all agree. If it's big enough, Gimel on Gimel, or maybe even a Tzoltzol, it's considered an extra beged and gets in the way. Shalai B'makim Begadim, Rabbi Yechon says, no concerns, regardless of size. Rava says 3x3 is a problem. Rabbi Yudah Rechid says even a Tzoltzol cotton, which we assume Rava agrees with. Regarding Lishna Beis, again, if Mokim Begadim, 3x3 is a Yitzur Begadim. Shalai B'makim Begadim, Rabbi Yechon agrees that 3x3 is a problem. Rava says Gimel Gimel, even a Tzoltzol, as per Rabbi Yudah Rechid, who says Tzoltzol cotton, because of its Hashivas, must be factored in. Continues the Gemara. So we learned that the big de kahuna have to be flush on his skin, without any chatzitza, without any separation. To what extent? What about an air pocket, a large air pocket? What if there's some air between the beged and the skin? Al basorei. Torah said it has to be directly on the skin. That's required. There has to be contact. Well, lucky here, you have a large air pocket. It's separate. I didn't what you can say. That's the regular mode of wearing, of dressing. That's not considered a chatzitza. What about a kina, a louse, crawling around? Mausha tachetz, does that pose a chatzitza? Now, mesa, if the louse had died, and just sitting there, there's no question. The vade chayitza, certainly, it's a chatzitza. It's a foreign object. What about chayiv, still alive and crawling around? Mai. What's the aloha? Miyamrina, shall we say? Kivin the asava azlar visehi, since it comes and goes, it belongs there. Therefore, it's considered in its habitat. And is not considered an interfering entity. Vloy chaitz. I do what you can say, kivin the kapadilla. Since if the kohen realizes he wants it out, chaitza. That's considered an obstructing element, and it makes chatzitza. Afar maushiyachot, what about dirt? Says the Gemara, afar. Valdechait, certainly, it's visible, you know, dirt, earth, is certainly. What if it's just dust, which is not really so, discernible? What is the halacha? Beis HaShechem HaShiyachetz. What if there's a, baggy area around his armpits? It's not flush there. Al basari be'inon, is that required? Well, lekan, here you don't have the proper flushing. You can say. That's the way typically you wear begadim. What about hichnas yadai teichekai? Tain inserts his hand into his bosom, into his chest, underneath the shirt in his chest. So there's a separation, but it's his own hand. Al basari be'inon v'aleka, perhaps it's not a fulfillment of al basari. Or do what you can say. Sorry. Gufa mi'chayitz. Shall we say that one's own body can get in the way? Or maybe not, because he's one and the same entity. The next question is, Nima, you have a thread from the, Big Day Kahuna. So it's a detached thread, sitting between the beged and his skin, Maush Tochutz. Does that pose a chatzitza concern? Well, of course, Nima, if it's just a loose thread, Badai Chatz, of course. It's a foreign entity. It gets in the way. Ella, rather, the question was Nima Medudela Smahu. Suppose the thread had been detached from the it's a loose thread, but it's sort of plucked in to the garment. So it's somewhat attached, but not really attached. And now it's dangling between the beged and his skin. Mahu. What is the status there? Shall we consider it as part of the beged, in which case it's not really considered a barrier, chatzitza, or shall we say, the fact is, it's a separate thread? Well, next question. Boy mar baravashi. Yotza sa'orei bevigdei mahu. What if his hair stretches down into the collar area and gets in the way between the collar and his neck? Ma, what's the halacha? Shall we say hair and skin is one thing? So it's all one and the same thing. There's no obstructing entity. So we have it unresolved at this point. But now comes a new question. So once again, the word yechaitzu, according to Rashi, here switches from literal chatzitza to figurative chatzitza. Question is, may a kohen wear tefillin during avodah? Is it considered an extra article of clothing, so to speak? Tefillin is like an article of clothing. Yitro begadim. Now, I'll leave it on the Amar Laila loves man tefillin who. We have a machlekes elsewhere. Whether one is meant to wear tefillin at night. Certainly during the day. What about at night? If nighttime is not for tefillin, lo yitibelech is no question. A tefillin cannot be worn during the day for a kohen. Kiven de laila chaitzi. Since if you would wear tefillin at night, which is not the time, is man of tefillin. It's certainly not considered part and parcel of the kohen himself. He's not really supposed to be wearing it. So of course, it's considered an extra article of clothing. And being that that's the case, yoyim nami chaitz, we'll assume during daytime work, it also is considered an obstruction, consider interfering entity, because Rashi says, unlikely that nighttime work, which is secondary to daytime work, will be more strict and severe than daytime work. So if it poses a problem at night, certainly by day. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. The question will be posed, l'mad omer laila zman tefillin. If you say, one is meant to wear tefillin at night as well. So night and day are on the same plane. Now comes the question, my. So what about wearing tefillin during avod? Shall we say mitzvah de gufei chayitz, even though it's a personal mitzvah, right, on the person's body, still, it's considered an article of clothing. Either chayitz, or perhaps not. Because it's bottled to the person. And Rashi adds, kigufei becomes like his person, like his body. Mishum chavivusa de mitzvahs, because of his dearness to the mitzvah. It becomes enveloped in the person. It's part of the personal entity. It's not considered an article of clothing that he's carrying, that he's wearing. It becomes integrated into the person himself. You know, the Gemara Menachah says, the tefillin sheh b'roish. That's what the Gemara calls the tefillin. Tefillin in the head, and the Farshim say, you know, it's a lesson for a person to have his mind on his tefillin. Tefillin is supposed to be absorbed in the head, incorporated into the person's conscious. So perhaps it's okay. Igalgal Musa. So this issue rolled around. Umotel Kamei Rami eventually ended up at Rabbi Ami. So the question was posed to him. Amar Lei, so he responded to the petitioner, of course, you cannot wear tefillin during Avod. Talmud Aruch Uviyadenu, it's a well-known halacha in our hands that we got from our Rabbeim. Tefillin Choytetzoyt. Yep. Wearing tefillin during Avodah is a problem, because it's considered like a beged, and he's wearing an extra beged. Meisvei comes a kasha. We have a brisa. Kehanim b'avodasim. Kehanim during their avodah. Ulevim during their song, when they stand under a stage. With the Chanan Yisrael and the regular Yisrael. Mamodim when they stand around to observe the karbonis. Since they're engaged in mitzvah, turim not tefillah, they're exempt from davening. We're not tefillah from wearing tefillah. My love, let's assume the brisa means they're exempt because they're busy, they're preoccupied with, if they would wear a tefillin, it doesn't really get in the way. Apparently, it's not considered an extra baggage. Loi, no. Of course, if they put on the tefillin, it is chaytetzeitz. So why does the brisa say they're exempt? It should say they're also to wear it. Asur mi b'alei, if in fact it poses a problem. The answer is because of the Levim and the Yisraelim, who don't have the same yitur begadim concern as the Kohanim, so by them, it fits to say exempt. And that's why it says that Lashon, even for the Kohanim, although by the Kohanim, there's an extra concern of yitur begadim as well. Kivan the ikal Levim and Yisraelim, since the Brisa addresses Levim and Yisraelim, were by them, Lo yimasnu le'asur. Asur, you know, is not a proper expression there, because they have no issue of Yitur Begadim, it's just that they're exempt. Shemachah, that's why Tana Peturin, that's why the Braisa chose the word Peturin. But in effect, it does pose a concern. But we have another Braisa, if the Kain wears Tefillin, there's no concern of Chatzitza. Says the Malakash, let me explain to you what's going on. And Rashi learns that the Gemara now takes a shift. All agree that the Tefillin article is not considered a beged in a literal sense, which would constitute Yitur Begadim, an additional beged. It's not really a beged. It was never. That's not up for consideration. At most, at worst, it can be a real chatzitza concern, if in fact it's placed in between the existing beged and his skin. So that explains this apparent contradiction. Here we say tefillin for a kohen is a chatzitza. Here we say it's not. You know what it depends on? Which tefillin? Which box? The hand or the head? Lekashya hadiyad, the one on his hand gets in the way, because literally it's between his shirt sleeve and his skin. So that cannot be worn. Hadarosh, but tefillin shel rosh, he's free to put on tefillin shel rosh, which he can put directly on his head. Just move his, you know, cap a little bit back. He's got some room there, so spare. Says the more maishno the yad. Why is the tefillin shel yad a problem? The chesiv, the pasuk says yilbash al basaroi, because his kesainis, his shirt is meant to be directly on his skin. Shelo yedaver chaytetz. Oh, this is the source for chatzitza. Shelo yedaver chaytetz beinu lo basaroi. There can't be anything between the shirt and his skin, such as tefillin shel yad. Well, the rosh nami ksiv. Regarding tefillin shel rosh, it also says v'samtam it's nevas al rosh. It placed the Kayan cap directly on his head without instructions. The answer is they left some room. Tana, we learned in a Raisa, Sarah Yanira bin sits the mitznefes. Even the Kayan Gadla wore many things. He wore the plate on his forehead, he wore the mitznefes. But there was some space, some hair that was visible, that was uncovered between the sits and the mitznefes, meant for the tefillin, Shasham and Yech tefillin. So he's safe regarding tefillin Shalosh. Continues the one, Chusep Bikipurim. So a kohen would become tummy with a tumah which requires not only tefillah and head of shemesh, also karbonis. He has done the tefillah. He has waited for sundown. He's almost there, but has yet to bring karbonis. The tumah still lingers. And therefore, if he does avodah, the avodah is pasul. Menol, how do we know? The woman who gives birth, who has to go through the same process, when she finishes, the karbon v'tahira. Now she's finally tahir. Tahir means now, after the karbanis, michlal, apparently until the karbanis are brought, she tmeya. The tumah lingers. And we know that if he's a tamei, we already know, he's michlal di avayda. The chiddush here is that lacking karbanis also constitutes a certain degree of tumah. Glaim, a kohen failed to wash his hands and his feet before engaging with the avayda. The avayda is now Pasul. Asya, chuka, chuka. We have a gzera shava connecting this person to the person who's missing begadim, mechusar begadim. It says chuka in both places, and just like over there, he's mechalel here as well. Tana Rabban. Okay, now we embark on a sugya of kiddush yadayim raglayim, which requires the kohen to rinse his hands and his feet from a klei shoreis, from the kiyar, a special container in the azara containing the water for that purpose, prior to approaching the karbanis. Now, this went on every day throughout the year. You enter the Azara to do avodah, wash your hands and feet. Now, Yom Kippur, in addition to the basic standard morning wash, there were additional washes as well. In fact, there were five additional immersions in the mikveh, because he would switch begadim from the standard eight begadim that the kohen wore, the big day Zohav. He would switch down to four white, back up to eight, back down to four. He did this five times. Each time, he required a tefillah, and twice, kiddush, yodayim raglayim. One before switching, one after switching. Says the Braisa, what if he failed to do the extra washes on Yom Kippur? He did the, you know, the plain basic one in the morning. Tana Rabban, kain gad lo shelo yiktaval. Shelo yikiddush, ben beged lebeged. Ubein avayd lavayd, he failed to do tefillah. And the extra washings between these sets of clothing between these segments of avodah. V'avad, and he proceeded to do the avodah. Regardless, avodah sekshera, whatever he did is okay. Those are important, but not critical. However, ve'echad kohen gadol, ve'echad kohen gadol, whether he's a kohen gadol or ordinary kohen who failed to do the morning wash, shalei kiddush, yodav ragel shachrus, and he did the avodah v'avad, avodah sepsula. That's critical. Asks the Gemara, if washing, if rinsing is critical, wouldn't you think certainly on Yom Kippur? Even though it's the extra washes, but wow, what's the difference? Amali Rav Asi, Rav Yechon, Michti. Let's take a look. Chamesh tefilas, right? Those five tefilas on Yom Kippur. Vasora and the 10 rinses. Kiddushin. Deraisa, we learn it from the Torah. V'chuchu k'sibu. In fact, the Torah spells out that Yom Kippur, L'chuka as'olam, these elements are absolute, non-negotiable. V'chuchu k'sibu, li'akru. They should be considered critical. Amrali, he says like this. The Pasuk, Lignei Vachri Mois, in describing the Kohen Gadol putting on the Begadim, and rinsing himself, ends with the word Ulavesham, which is an extra word, since it already said Yilbash in the beginning of the Pasuk. Amrali Amakra, the Pasuk repeats the word Ulavesham to tell you his attire is critical. The Begadim are Ma'akev, but not the rinse. But the other thing is not critical. As long as he had the basic morning wash, he's good to go. So Rav Asi, who asked this question, now got a good answer. He was all excited, delighted. And he showed it. His face lit up. Amar Leis, Rav Yechon says, not so fast. My answer isn't that true. Vav, it's like I colored the letter Vav, a ufsa, on a block of wood, which has its own, you know, internal designs. So the letter is not really discernible, it just blends into the background. Kasfilach, I wrote for you. Meaning, I don't really, I'm not convinced with my own answer. Yachi, because that's so. That the washing is not ma'akev, anyam kippur, the safar nami. So the same non-criticality could apply to the morning wash as well. Anyam kippur. And the Brisa clearly differentiates and says that the morning wash is critical. Amachiske. He says, no, let me explain to you a difference. I'm a crow. There's a special pasuk. That in fact, the morning wash is critical. I'm a crow, v'hoise lahem chayk oylam. Loi ulazarek deresam. This is in Parshas Pegudei. Washing themselves is chayk oylam. It's absolute. Loi ulazarek. For him, the Kohen Gadol himself, and his descendants. Deresam. So we learn. Only that type of wash, that type of rinse, which applies to the, which is considered critical regarding the descendants of Aharon HaKohen, regarding the regular Kohanim, i.e., the standard morning wash, that's considered critical for Aharon HaKohen as well, on Yom Kippur. Dabra Ma'akev Bezare, the item, which is considered Mi'akev regarding his kids, i.e., the standard morning wash, Ma'akev Boy, is critical by Aharon HaKohen as well. However, Dabar She'enim Ma'akev Bezare, something which is not Ma'akev by his kids, for instance, the extra washes of Yom Kippur, Ein Ma'akev Boy is not Ma'akev by him either. Rabbi Yenison Amam Yehoch, have another source for this. V'rochzum menu Moshe v'Aaron u'banav, this is the beginning of Parshas Kisisa. The kiyur is meant to provide washing for Moshe, Aaron, and his children. So again, we connect Aaron to his kids. Dabar Ma'akev u'banav, only the wash, which is Ma'akev by the kids, Ma'akev Boy is Ma'akev by him as well, but not the extra ones on Yom Kippur. Dover she'ena ma'akev b'banav, something which is not ma'akev by the kids, a ma'akev boy is not ma'akev by Aharon HaKohen. So we have two sources for the same idea. Why? Rabbi Yehoshua, who learned from the first pasuk, my time lomar midechizkiah, why did he choose his over Chizkiah's pasuk of the pasuk of Parshas Pekudei? So the second one, why didn't he agree with the first one? Amalech, I'll tell you, ahu l'deris u'dechziv. That pasuk is simply instructing them that they should carry on this practice for all generations. It's not coming to teach us what's critical, what's not. V'iduch my time Omar mihai. Now the other opinion, why didn't he learn from Chizkiah's, from Rabbi Yonasan, the pasuk which speaks about Moshe of Aaron Abana. Miboyle, it's coming to tell you a different halacha as well. Look at Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, regarding the minimum requirement within the kir, how much water does it need to have to be suitable for rinsing? Kol kira she'ein boi kedei lekalish arba kohanim imenu. The kir doesn't have enough water, which can theoretically supply four koyhanim, ein makat shemoy, can not be used for kiddush. How do we know? Shenamar, as the pasuk says, four people meant to rinse from it. Rochtzim menu Moshe, that's one. Va'aron is two. Vanav, at least two of his kids. So it's used for this halacha, and therefore we need a different source to tell you regarding what's ma'akiv, what's not. So bottom line is, the standard wash prior to avoida is critical for everybody. The extra ones in Yom Kippur, although they're required, but they're not mi'akiv. Tanur Rabbanan, okay, so how about, how do we do mitzvahs kiddush? Ketzad mitzvahs kiddush, how do they go ahead with kiddush? Maniach yodai, it requires a special stance. Maniach yodai ayamanis, al gabi ragli ayamanis. So the pasuk speaks about washing hands and feet simultaneously. It says yirchatsu. They wash their hands and feet together. So you can't just do it separately. Rather, maniach yoda yimonis, al gebiragla yimonis. He places his right hand over his right foot. Well, and likewise, viyode as small as his left hand, al gabi ragli as small as upon his left hand, foot. And that's how he rinses himself. No, literally, you have to do it all together as one. How do you get your hands and feet washed together? Maniach shteyoda v'zu al gavzu. First, he puts both hands one on top of the other, and then val gabi shtey ragli v'zu al gavzu. He puts them on both his feet, which are also stacked up. Umekadesh, and in that standing in that type of a stance, he rinses himself. Humrulay, the Chacham said, that's a tough feat. Hiflakta, you've exaggerated. If Shalasas can, you can't stand and wash like that. You're going to fall, you're going to collapse. Apparently, somebody has to stand behind you and hold you up. Shapik Amrulay, it would seem they have a valid argument. It's impractical. Amrav Yosef, you're right. V'chaveder Messiah. Certainly, somebody has to be standing beside him, holding him up. And what's the machlekes? Whether that's valid. Might be nayu. So what's the machlekes here between the two shittas? Amar Abaye. There's a halachic disagreement here. Standing, which is a requirement during the kiddush, as we're going to see in a minute, you have to be standing. But if you're in standing position, but you can't hold yourself up, you need somebody to support you. Is that considered standing? Amida, standing min atzad, with that, you know, side support, ikubina, that's the machlekes. Rabbanan say, you're in any case not standing. So what's the point? Rather, lump yourself up in a way that you can still stand. Rabbi Sarita says, even standing in this manner is considered standing, and therefore it's required. Amalei Rav Sama Breda Rav Ashi Ravina. Why stand at all? V'leisav, meisav. Let him just sit, look kaddish, and rinse himself like that. Amar Kro, the pasuk says, l'shareis. Says that they would wash themselves, right? And it says l'shareis. Rashi says the pasuk is connecting the kiddush, the rinse, to the actual service. And we know v'sheiris mu'umadu. We know that one must stand while serving the mikdash. So kiddush isn't just a preparation; it's already part of the act of service, which requires standing. Tanur Rabbanan. Kiddush yodav ragla b'yayim. So we know that typically, lina, when something, you know, was left overnight, carbon material, right, which stayed overnight, come the next morning, amuda shachar, daybreak, it becomes pasul. It's called lina. Once it passed into the next day, new world. Yesterday's carbon is a pasul. What about if he washed his hand? Today, he stayed up all night. Now it's the next morning. Does he have to rewash in honor of the next day's service? Or can he still use yesterday's wash? So this is a simple case. He washed during the day, and he stayed on during the night. It's still that same night, following the previous day where he washed. There's no need to rewash at night, because it's all part of the same, you know, entity. When it comes to karbanis, by the way, night follows the day. So it goes day, night. Typically in halacha, it's the other way, right? Day follows night. When it comes to karbanis, it's different. 24-hour unit starts in the morning, ends the next morning. he washed Sunday by day, Sunday night, he need not rewash. Balayla, if he washed during the night, now it's the next morning, Tzorach L'Kadosh B'Yayim, next morning he has to rewash. Divir Rebbe, that's Rebbe's opinion. Shayi Rebbe Yayim, as Rebbe would tell us, Lina, staying overnight, going through that transition between tonight and tomorrow morning, passing Amud HaShachar, Lina Mayeles, it impacts, it adversely impacts B'Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim, which requires a new wash. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says, Aymer, Ein Lina Mayeles, B'Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim, you can go with the same wash for 10 days in a row. Tanya, Idach, we have another brayso with the same machlekes. If he's standing and serving on the mizbech all night long, comes the next morning, lo'ira, next morning, torn, kiddush, yodayim raglayim. He must rewash. That's Rebbe's opinion, because of Lina. No, kiddush, kiddush, yodayim raglayim, tchilas avoida. If he rinses himself in advance of his avoida, it can last for 10 days. If it can last for 10 days, it'll last for 10 days. I feel even until 10 days. He doesn't have to rewash, despite the fact that it's a new day. Tricha. Why do we have to present our machlekes in one brice and another brice? Isn't it a repetition? No, each one carries its own specific lesson. The Yashmin and Kamaise. Had we only discussed the first case, where he washed at night, and now it's the next morning, but perhaps in that case, Kama Rebbe insists that he rewashes, the pasuk lemavoid avoid, because he had already stopped, one avoida, and he went to the next avoida. Rashi says, although there was no real hesach hadas, he didn't, divert his mind, he didn't distract himself. He's still, in the avoida mode, but it's a different carbon. Perhaps that's why, a new day, a new carbon, you have to rewash. But in the second brayso, where he was clearly continuously serving day after day on the same, the same activity, the Leib Pasach Lei, he never stopped for a moment. Perhaps Rebbe would agree in this case, to the other Shita, that you don't have to rewash. And the answer is he does. On the other hand, had we only discussed this case, V'yashmin and Baha, I would speculate and think, Baha Kamar, only in this case, Rebbe Shimon says, no need to rewash, because it's one continuous Avoida. Aval Baha, in the first case, where he's at a different point now, different carbon, Ema, perhaps, Moi delay, the Rebbe, Rebbe to Rebbe, he has to rewash Tzricha, and that's why we discuss both cases. According to Rebbe, new day, new Kiddush. According to Rebbe Shimon, you don't need to rewash, irrespective of whether it's the same carbon that you're involved in or a different carbon. My time with the Rebbe. What's Rebbe's source? That Lina impacts Kiddush. Tachsiv, the Pasuk says, Begishtam. When you approach, the Mizbeach. Right? And Rashi says, V'gisha de'shachrus, gishachriti. Every morning is a new gisha, new day of service, a new firewood arrangement on the Mizbeach. It requires a new Kiddush. My time, what's the reason for the Rav Lezer Shimon? They can stay with the old Kiddush, Tachsiv Bevoyam. Pasuk says, when you enter, he never left, he's still there, even though it's a week later. V'idach nam yaksiv Bevoyam. What does Rebbe do with Bevoyam? That's coming to teach us something else. Iksiv Begishtam. If only the word Begishtam, without saying, V'lo yaksiv Bevoyam, without Bevoyam, I mean, I would think, Akol Gisha Begisha. A Kiddush is required for every single Gisha, every single approach, every single carbon. And that's why Kasra Chon Teres to say Bevoyam, to tell you, no. When you enter. Once a day. V'idach nami yaksiv begishtam. On the other hand, Rav Lezer was the one who learned from Bevayam. What about begishtam, which sounds like you need a new wash? The answer is iksiv Bevayam. If only Bevayam, v'iksiv begishtam, without the word begishtam, I mean, I would think, I feel I'll be a reikonis. Even if the kain enters just without any intent of serving on the base of Mikdash. He's just going in, You would think, he has to rinse himself. And that's why it says Begishtam. Only when he's approaching the Avoid. Ask the Gemara, how could you even think? Abiri Kanis? Just going in empty handed requires Kiddush? Oksiv Lasharis is another word in the Pasuk. Lasharis, to serve. So there's no room to think. Ela Begishtam Iboy Lek Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Rather, the word Begishtam is needed for a different halacha. Ask for Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. This refers to those extra washes on Yom Kippur, when he switches the begadim. So, with machlokes regarding the timing, at what point is he going to wash? Damar Rach Bar Yaakov, Hakol Moedim all agree bekiddush sheni regarding the second rinse. Kshulavish Makadish. That only happens after he puts on a second pair of clothing. So he takes off the old ones, puts on the new ones. All agree regarding the second rinse. So regarding the first rinse, it's machlekes. Before he takes them off, after he takes them off. But regarding the second rinse, all agree it's only once he's dressed. My time or why? The pasuk says, Oy Begishta. He rinses himself, Oy Begishta. When he's about to approach the Avodah, he's already dressed, ready to go. He's only missing the actual Avodah, which he's about to do. That's when he washes. Misha and Mechusa, we're speaking about a kohen who's not missing any other steps. Elogisha Vavad, only the Gisha itself. He's already dressed, ready to go. That's when he washes. Yatzes, as opposed to prior to getting dressed, he's missing two steps. So let's get dressed and then go to the Avodah. Shemechusa, Lavisha, Begisha. So we learn from here that he rinses only after getting dressed. Now the pasuk ends with the words Lahakter Isha. What's the pasuk adding with that? Obviously, if he's going to burn something on the Mizbeach, that's Gishas Mizbeach, that's approaching the Avodah. Of course, it requires a rinse. Normally, what's the point of that pasuk? The answer is like this. Maudit him, perhaps I would think, Hani, immediately, when do we have to wash? That's only if he's doing an Avodah to Ma'akva Kapara, which is critical to the kapara, to the success of the carbon, like zrika, etc. But let's say just burning the fats in the mizbeach, important as it is, it's not mi'akev. Aval avoided le'ma'akev kapara, which is not mi'akev. Like perhaps kiddush is not required for that. Kamashmon, the point is yes. If a kohen approaches the mizbeach for the sake of burning the emurim, it's a form of service. La'akti yishel Hashem. It must be preceded with a kiddush. Okay, so in summation, we learned about what's considered Yitur Begadim. We learned about Al Basari, the beggar has to be flushed on his skin. What poses a chatzitza, what doesn't? We had many, many questions. We concluded that although tefillin, they're not considered Yitur Begadim, but he can only wear a tefillin Shal Rosh, otherwise tefillin Shal Yad poses a plain chatzitza issue. We discussed Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim, which is required before doing the Avodah. And that's Miyakiv. He's lacking that. The Avodah is puzzle. However, the extra rinses in Yom Kippur are not Miyakiv. And we discussed the Machlokes regarding Lina, which according to Rebbe would affect Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim. Kondor Rosh Hashimon, he washes his hands today and keep on going for 10 days straight without another wash. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabba.